Hallelujah. Open your Bibles to Ephesians 6:10. Ephesians 6:10. I feel real strong anointing to preach the word here. Preach this word. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take upon you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." We'll stop here for a moment. The past 5 months, the thing that the Holy Spirit's been doing or desiring to do with every one of us is to bring an impartation of the strength of God. Yes. I felt an anointing to preach more than I ever have in my life as compared to teaching. To preach the word, you're teaching, you're creating understanding. Preaching, you declare a thing. And the word that's declared go into your spirit and spring forth and give life. My expectations for the strength of God, which is a part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The strength and power of God on the inside of us. Now, I want to point something out before we look at this particular thing further. And that is that we are at war. We are at war. If you don't discern the times, you won't know how to handle yourself right. You know, come around March, mid-March, people start planting things like onions. But as you're proceeding on, there are other things you begin to plant. And if you wait too long, you miss the time. Then will come harvest time. I love blueberries. And there's a place below Red Line we like to go to pick your own. And through a variety of things happening, we missed the time. Now, it's supposed to be a third picking because they plant different bushes that ripen at different times. And you have to hit at the right time. And then the way the season goes will affect whether it's more abundant or less, whether they're early or late, depending on things like temperature and rain. So I'm anticipating getting that third picking next week. But if I miss it, I miss it. I won't have frozen blueberries that I picked that are grown local. I'll be at the mercy of somebody growing them in South America or something like that. And you're paying a lot more. But there's times and seasons. If you don't know what time it is, you don't know how to handle yourself. You came out here largely with short sleeves or maybe something light because it's not December. It's not January in Pennsylvania where you come out with winter coats on. We must discern the time. You cannot just handle yourself the same throughout life. And we are at a time of war in the spirit. War's been declared against us by the spirit of Antichrist, by Satan. War has been declared. Now, there are times within a war that there's battles. There's times of fierce fighting and times of like a lull where there's regrouping. And sometimes in that lull period, people are then, they let their guard down and the attack comes and they're not ready for it. Satan's very wise within these realms because he's been working at it for 6,000 years. And he'll bring an attack and then ease up a little bit and people let their guard down. I remember Brother Arthur Burke, the English brother, since going to be with the Lord, telling me that after World War I, it was such a horrible war, so many had died. And back then, they just sort of line up and kill each other. I never quite got the wisdom of that other than like in a Civil War time. Back in those days, they would, again, line up and fire a volley of shots. Just seemed a little crazy to me. Why not, you know, stand behind a tree and shoot somebody versus out in an open field, just stand there and just fire away and kill each other. But death toll was very high, World War I. And he had shared with me how the English were so burnt out from that war, they didn't want to think anything about it. So they did not make weapons much and have much of a military at readiness. Where Hitler came to power in the 1930s, much doing the same things that certain people are doing in our nation today, the insurrection, it's exactly following his playbook. Don't let anybody pull the wool over your eyes saying, oh, it's just a nice little protest. No, it is an insurgency to overthrow our nation. And if you trace the roots of the people groups, there's communists. It's communist, okay? Now, it is what it is. You can believe what you want to believe. It'd be wise to find the truth and believe the truth, though. That's what a wise person does. Find the truth, believe the truth. Well, anyway, he was telling me how they were completely unprepared for World War II, but Hitler built at that time what was the greatest military machine the world had yet seen. And they came in and swept through Europe and North Africa and Eastern Europe and began bombing England. And finally, you know, they were able to withstand that. But he said they were burnt out, and rather than building guns, they were making teddy bears. And that, I'm quoting him now. They were making teddy bears. They just didn't want to think about it anymore. Now, here's a reality. When war comes, you don't have a choice but to fight or die or surrender and become a slave. Those are the choices. You know, they talk about slavery. Communism is a slave type of methodology. When the Russians were conquering, they made slaves of those other nations. People think, well, slavery ended 155 years ago. No, slavery still exists today. These big mouth people that get shoe deals are being financed by slave labor in China. They're slaves, children of slaves in Pakistan. This is just factual. You can find out for yourself. I can make reference to ministries that are trying to do a work in the midst of all that stuff. Well, the communists would conquer people and then make slaves out of them. In 1996, when I was in Poland, and I stayed in a home, and there was a couple there, had an apartment, and the young man that was my interpreter was their son. He went to college, and he had learned English, pretty good with English. And I didn't realize what I was about to do. I asked a question. Boy, did I peel a big old scab off this fella. I asked him, what do you think of the Russians? That was not a good question to ask because it was very painful. And through more or less gritting his teeth, he answered me and said, we hated them. They took everything we had. They left us just enough to survive, literally. Just enough to survive, and we were slaves. We hated them. That was the answer I got. And you can't draw conclusions off anything media says. To begin with, a large percentage of it's lies, propaganda. But aside from that, you need a means to know who actually is telling the truth. And if you can't tell if someone's telling the truth, then you shouldn't pay that much attention or put any weight or belief upon what they're saying. So the wars have gone on and on. Jesus said it would be that way. But we are in a spiritual war. The spirit of Antichrist. Now, in Daniel chapter 7, that vision that he had spoke of the end times. And he gave the same picture that's in the book of Revelation, in chapter 13, as it begins speaking about the beast, which is a world, a system, the beast making war, an Antichrist working through the beast to completely control people. And there are systems that have been developed in the world, and the ultimate aim of Antichrist is a one world system. government system, the beast system, whereby Antichrist is controlling humanity and thus stealing the glory of God. That's what's going on. When you live in a war, you can't pretend it's not going on. In eastern Ukraine and in Crimea, there was 6 years ago, the Russians rolled in. Everything changed overnight. They had been for a while amassing military on the borders. Some of the pastors there told us about it. They were very concerned. But in the two eastern states, Donetsk and Luhansk, that's now a war zone. And they're still fighting there today. You just don't hear about it on our media because people get tired of hearing the same stuff. They need something new every 24 hours, new news cycle. So there's still war, and people there are really, really suffering. Everything's changed. You can't act like it's not there. If you just dop out in the middle of the open, you could get shot. That's how it is at that place now. And all over the world, there's times things go in and out with the manifestation of war. My point is, you can't act like you're not in a war if you are in a war. There has to be some response. December 7th, 1941, this is history lesson time, Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. That's United States property. It was an attack on our nation. They declared war on us. 4 days later, Hitler declared war on us as well. And one of the things that happened back then, there was a large response. I wasn't alive to see it, but from what I heard, and there's films and there's people alive still that would have been alive then, where large numbers volunteered to go and fight in the war for their nation. Large numbers volunteered. They wanted to go and defeat the Japanese and then the Germans because they were embarking on really conquering the world, okay, to conquer the nations, which is, again, satanic at its very root. There was a large response. And then the people that remained here, a lot of the young men, most of the young men went off to war. And the people that remained, were building weapons and growing food and such like to support this because the war had to be won. It's life or death. And really at that point, 1940 was when the workforce changed, where there were masses of women that entered the workforce, who previously stay-at-home mom. And at that point, 50% of the United States people still lived on farms. So you had this huge industrial machine that was developed producing everything for war. Growing of food, the men being recruited, being trained, being strengthened, the weapons being produced because we were at war. And these invading nations, what they came to find, and this is what the Japanese Admiral Yamamoto, I think he was his name, he said, "We've awakened a sleeping giant." He said, "This was a mistake attacking the United States." So we ended up building this war machine and defeated our enemies. In a sense, that ended good for us. But the people didn't just stay at home and just, well, let's just go to the beach and sit and lay there. And well, let's just sit in the mountains. And well, we'll just keep making money. We were at war. And as a nation, there was a response. And the result of that was victory. We are at war in the spirit right now. And again, Daniel prophesied of it, this Antichrist spirit in these end times. It says, verse 21, I believe, will make war on the saints, is exactly how it reads. Then at verse 25, it says that he would seek to wear out the saints. And we must stay strong throughout our whole Christian walk, lest we be worn out. When you become weary, then you become willing to just throw up your hands and say, "I quit, I surrender, whatever." And again, quit and surrender cannot be an option. Satan has no mercy. To begin to bow is to be destroyed, and you'll be tormented first. There's no mercy in the devil. Yeah, I mentioned one time already when we had some cats, and this one was a great mouser. And sometimes, like in a summer like this, she'd catch one outside. She'd want me to see it, that she's doing her job. She's a great mouser. The other one was lazy. She wouldn't catch mice. But this one was a great mouser. And I watched one time, and she would bat it or smack it around, let the mouse run about 4 feet away, and then pounce on it, pick it up again in her teeth, put it down, smack it, play around. After she got bored with that after a couple minutes, she'd just kill it. As I was watching that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. That's how the devil is. Now, I'm not saying cats are devils. Cats are nice pets. But that behavior, because everything God created in the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom reflects something of the kingdom of God because he created it. And that's how the devil is. He'll play around with you for a while once he gets onto you. And then when he's tired of it or has no more use for you, he'll just kill you. But if he can just play around with you a while, he will. We're at war. Book of Revelation, chapter 12, and that's in where the verse is that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and loving not our life to death. That's how you overcome in that end time. Verse 11, or no, 17, the last verse there in Revelation 12, it speaks of the fact that, because the whole thing gives a picture from the beginning to the church age, how Satan wanted to destroy Israel, and God made the way by Israel being dispersed, that the Jews didn't have a nation that could be attacked. There's still persecution, but it says that he made war against the seed of Israel that have the testimony of Jesus and keep his commandments. So the offspring of Israel, and it's throughout the Bible, book of Isaiah, that out of Israel would come the Gentiles, would come to Christ. The Savior would come, and then the Gentiles would come in. And that's how it happened. I'm just giving you this little summary of our church history. And it goes on in chapter 13 and speaks of the beast, which will be that one world system. And it goes on to say, who can make war with the beast? One of the things that frustrates people is as you observe and see things that are evil and the lies and all, you think, what can I do? I'm just little old me. How do I fight this? Well, that's what that's saying. Who can make war with the beast? And more, there's a control being gained over the nations, which the epitome of it was seen this year where all of the nations of the earth were shut down at somebody's command with this virus. Never before in history has that ever happened. And it'll be again. This is a work of Satan. It worked for him, is working for him to a large degree. It'll come even stronger in the future again, one way or the other, to shut it all down, to control people. I mean, right now, you can't even go in and out of India, Sri Lanka, or Nigeria. Those places I have friends I know. You can't come in and out. So missions is being shut down. Within those countries, they are very limited in travel. So their own missions and church planning is really, really hindered. It won't be stopped, but it's hindered. We still have a little bit more freedom to travel within our nations, but in some places, there's limits even with that. Well, we understand there is a war going on, and I mean, first, every one of us, we have to acknowledge that, or you're not going to respond right. Something that's being said to program the people. Some things are said to program people, to understand that. It's repeated over and over through the media, is that it's never going to be like it was before. Did you ever hear that one? Probably heard it enough to make you sick. They're programming the people. It's not going to, and to a degree, I believe there's a truth there that because Satan's behind it, he's going to keep pushing this thing. And we have to fight back. We have to stand. Because the Antichrist spirit wants a one world control and to steal the glory of God. And I don't want to go off into weeds with all that. That's why I didn't read all those scriptures. I'm just referencing them at this point. So if in fact we're at war, which I'm convinced we are, then what needs to be done is there needs to be a people who will be the soldiers to fight, and they're going to have the weapons to fight. So that's where Ephesians 6 comes into the picture. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Persecution was already happening at this time. There was the Roman Empire, which had a rather iron-fisted control, who a little bit later on, not many years after this is written, would end up with a heavy persecution on the church. The first persecution was the Jews persecuting those who accepted Christ. But then it became the Roman Empire, of which the beast system has come out from. Again, I don't want to get into weeds on that. I'm just saying those things for context's sake. And so in order to stress the importance of this here, that the word of the Lord, I really believe to God's people in this hour, and I don't know how many are preaching it. Sometimes I get concerned because it seems that a lot aren't really preaching what needs to be preached. The people of God have got to become strong in the Lord and the power of his might, or they will wear down and will not be able to fight this fight. We are not without hope. For we have the Holy Ghost, we have resurrection power, we have the weapons of our warfare, and it is a spiritual warfare. It's not against a physical enemy. We have the means we can fight. When you're really in trouble is when there's an enemy who has an army and you have no weapons and you're tired and wore out. That's some big trouble. You get into that place. I really believe with all my heart, the word of the Lord this hour, this year, is to bring the strength of God to God's people through strong preaching. We are in a different time than it was 2019. It's a different time. There's a different attack. You cannot live like life like you used to. They say it's not going to be like it was. There's a reality to that. You can't live your life like you used to. Now, we can think, I'm tired of wearing a mask and wanting to open things up and blah, 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 blah. That's the voice, I want it back the way it was. Well, I want it back the way it was, too. There's nothing wrong with that, thought. But the reality is this is a war. It's not just an event that happened. This is a planned strategy of Satan. And the Bible shows it. The reason why Christians can easily understand conspiracy theory is it's in the Bible. There is a plan of Antichrist spirit. It's laid out. Or it's spoken of enough that we need to know what it is. There is a planned end here. God has a plan. History is not just accidental. You can view it either it's just something just happened accidental, or that it was planned by someone. God has a plan for your life. You walk with him, you can see his plan come into becoming part of your history. But if we're just moving along life without God, then the work of the enemy is going to begin to rule our life. So we need to be strong in the Lord, in him, in his character and conviction, and the power of his might. Now, this word power and might here are words that are used back in Ephesians chapter 1 when he's saying we need to pray to understand the power of God that was wrought in us. And there's two words back there. One is speaking of manifest power and inherent power. And you've heard me share this before. There is inherent power in you Because God himself lives in you. The Holy Ghost lives in you. The power that raised Christ from the dead is in you. Yes. We understand that power according to seeing its use in raising Christ from the dead. That's the criteria of understanding it. So it's to our benefit to embrace and read and meditate upon the resurrection of Christ. That was the manifestation of that inherent power. And he's saying here, we need to be strong, excuse me, in the manifest power of the inherent power. In other words, the evil coming at you, there is the power of God in you to overcome it on a personal level. Yes. Yeah, as it that it's not affecting you. You were not necessarily taking over the whole world or that type of thing, but as far as you're concerned, it affecting you where you get depressed or angry or however it affects you. We can overcome that. We can be victorious. And in that victory, you become a light and a testimony. Because the people that don't know the Lord in this way, they don't have an answer. And they are afraid. And they are just saluting and bowing to these evil people that have authority. Salute and bow. Salute and bow. Now, I believe, you know, obey the law, drive a speed limit and stuff like that. Yeah, you do those laws. But when it comes to the word of God and the commandments of God, you never bow to a man when God himself has told you certain things. I mean, we won't even stand up for that. How are you going to stand up to worse things that are going to come? So be strong in that manifest power of the inherent power. Now I want to go to Psalm 111. I found myself, as I look back over this year, preaching a lot out of the book of Psalms. In fact, it's almost like every week. Well, the reason for that is the Psalms were given a variety of some reasons, but one of the things to bring courage and strength. Well, it's a time for courage and strength. Psalm 111. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in my living room, sitting by myself. No, that's not how it reads. I'll praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. That's just another place. There's many. Praise the Lord. You know, as you consider who God is and what he's done, you can't help but want to praise him. And he commands us to do that because you need that. Plus, he deserves it. All the praise. The works of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice as we read down through here that the work in most of these verses now, the word is works. The work of the Lord is great. Sought out of them that have pleasure therein. You know, when you have pleasure and seeing and knowing what God does, it's of great interest to you to learn more about things he's doing or to hear the testimony, someone's testimony. And it doesn't have to be like something you'd view as big and great, or it can be very seemingly small, but anything the Lord does in someone's life is important. And we should celebrate all of it. It's wise for us to learn to do that here, because when we go to heaven, that's what we're going to be doing, celebrating the testimony of the Lord, bringing glory and praise to him. His work is honorable and glorious. His righteousness endures forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Now, as you think about the things the Lord has done, you can't help but think about, wow, God is good. He's been so gracious and merciful to us. And we praise him for that then. Yes. He hath given meat to them that fear him. Doesn't read he gives meat to people in fear. He gives meat to them that fear him or would reverence him for who he is. He is our source. He is a covenant-making God. It says he'll be ever mindful of his covenant. God won't forget his promise to you. He doesn't forget. Sometimes we forget some things. God doesn't forget. He has given meat to them that fear him. Or in other words, the covenant promises provision to us. He will remember his covenant. He showed his people the power of his works that he might give them the heritage of the heathen, or the heathen as an inheritance. Again, I mentioned this earlier. I'm going to say it again, that God's plan in the old covenant, especially in the book of Isaiah, it's there over and over again, that God had a covenant with Israel, and through that covenant, he would bring the Savior and would make another covenant whereby everyone in the world could be saved, where the Gentiles come in. So they were inheriting the Gentiles. Not that you possess them, but you're bringing in the Lord's inheritance of the Gentiles who, as they become saved, you know, be with the Lord forever and ever in heaven as well, of which we are a part. I don't know that anyone here is like a born-again Jew. As far as I know, we're all Gentiles. He showed his people, okay, verse 7, the works of his hands are verity and judgment. The word verity is emet, which is a word that's always translated truth. Here it's verity. That's an English word we don't really use anymore. None of you said that word this week, have you? See, I was correct. We don't really use that word. But in the Hebrew, it's a word for truth. The works of his hands are in truth and judgment. His commandments are sure. The word judgment is mishpat, which has a few different uses in Scripture. But most of the time, it's speaking of a legal decision. A judgment's based upon something of a legal form. Now, if you were to go before a judge and you're being accused you broke a law, and a judge says 30 days in jail, that's a judgment based on the law, a legal judgment. Well, what this is referring to for us, God made a covenant with us through Jesus Christ. There are things that are, in a legal sense, established. Brother E.W. Kenyon had such a revelation. We have some of his books back there. But such a revelation of what he called the legal and vital side of redemption. In other words, what Jesus did through the whole redemptive work, his death, his resurrection, what he provided for us legally, then the vital side or the living side is the result of the Holy Spirit's ministry in your life. So as far as partaking of something the Lord's provided, we need to understand that that's legally belongs to us. You don't just take what you see. Yeah, I have a couple vehicles sit out front of my house. No one just comes and steals them or just takes them. Oh, I'd like one of those. I'll take that Jeep. No, that is under my possession, or I'm the legal owner, me and the bank. We have to be accurate here with what we're saying. But you don't just take what you want. Or you don't just wish for it, but there is a legality to the obtaining of things. And God has provided things for us through Jesus Christ, and his work in our life is based on truth and judgment, or the legal rendering to us through the death of Jesus Christ. He made things available. They're yours. You can go claim it. And his commandments are sure, or we can have a confidence in his commands, or what he commands us to do will produce life. If you don't believe obeying God produces life, you'll look for every way to get out of it. But when we understand being obedient is the principle upon which the manifestation of life is based, then you want to be obedient. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. The works of his hands stand. They are done in truth and uprightness or righteousness. He sent redemption to his people. He commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Now, I want to link this to Ephesians chapter 6. And as I was reading down those verses, when it begins speaking of the armor of God, the first thing mentioned is your loins, or would be the part of you where your organs are, liver, kidneys, and everything else in there. You have any of those are injured, shut down, you're dead. It won't be long. So there would be a covering, or like a belt, a covering to try to protect from being stabbed, say in the kidneys or liver or heart, up or lungs, protecting your organs. Again, for the human body, life's all proceeding out from there. Truth is your protection to the very sustenance of life. Truth. Now, as we look at the armor of God, I'm only going to deal with truth here the rest of my time. As we look at that, they all protect us from particular types of attacks from Satan. Satan in John 8:44 is called the father of all lies. He is a liar and he deceives people through lies. The opposite of that is truth. God is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit in John 16 is referred to as the Spirit of truth. He guides you in truth. Anyone who is being led by the Spirit will always move towards truth. If someone's living a lie, they're propagating lies and deception, I want to tell you, according to Scripture, they're not being led by the Spirit. Now, I'm not saying they're not saved. They might just be deceived. But when we are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, he always leads to truth, which according to John 8:32, the truth will set us free and brings liberty and freedom. Freedom from what? Sin and devils. Satan will enslave through lies. The first lie of Satan when it came to Adam and Eve, first he tried to create doubt. Has God said you can't touch, you can't eat of every tree in the garden? Doubt. And then Eve had answered, said, oh, we can't eat the fruit of this tree. And Satan follows up with a lie and says, you won't die. The beginning point of lies of the devil is there's no accountability. There's no consequence. You can do what you want. There's no consequence. There is consequence. And one of the things being propagated in our nation right now is that people can do what they want and there should be no consequence. Whether it's burn your house down or steal or whatever. No consequence. That is straight from Satan. Whenever you hear that, know this, that is straight from Satan. His initial lie, you won't die or there's no consequence. You can disobey God and do what you want. You won't die. There's no consequence. But you see, truth is what sets us free from all of this. Lies and deception. With the whole development of the whole media world, it's really amazing how fast this has developed. One of the things that Hitler and Stalin and these people learned to do to manipulate a nation is they use propaganda. And they indoctrinated people unto where they're willing to just kill like maniacs for their Mr. Hitler or Stalin and down the line. But propaganda was used. And in those days, you had the old films, the 8mm or whatever, 16mm, what was it? They had the old films. And I like to watch your History Channel, and you see some of that stuff, how they were using music and films to indoctrinate the people. To where, because they did not walk with the Lord and know the truth, masses of them followed after this stuff. There was a man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer in Germany who was a pastor. He was speaking out against it, and he wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship. He was killed before the war was over. But he was speaking out. But for the most part, there was such a backsliding in the church that the Church of Jesus Christ in the 1930s went along with Mr. Hitler because they were not walking with God, and they thought, oh, he's just a political guy. We want favor with him, so we'll go along and say it's all good. These things have happened in other nations at times, and sad to say, it's happening here. And there is a need more than ever that pastors and whoever's preaching have courage to preach the truth and declare it, that the people of God wake up. You can't live like life like you used to live it. They're programming us to that, but for a different reason. We are at war. And the things that God would do, the power of God will work by truth and by understanding the legal side of redemption. He works in that way. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You're all hearing the same truth today, but you're all going to be processing it according to what you understand and know. So I could ask everyone some questions and maybe get a different answer of what you got out of it or how something might have hit you. As individuals, we have to process things ourselves. You don't just march to the tune of the drummer. You don't just do what I say. It has to be revelation to you. It's the only way you can ever walk something out. You have a conviction and a revelation of it. And that is only going to come to anyone by the fear of the Lord, or they have such a respect for God that they're really listening. And that's why it says, Proverbs, here in Psalms, some other places, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. If we don't reverence and respect God, we're not really going to take very seriously what he's saying. We will exalt our opinion. And one of the things that is happening, I feel, so much in the midst of our nation, is people more and more exalting opinion. And that's one of the things social media enables with people. They can just put their opinion out and someone will click and say, yeah, yeah, rah, 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 you know. And people feel emboldened by that. Or even you turn on like a news program. There's certain ones, you'll hear them say, well, I think, I'm not interested. And this time I'll be telling my wife, I'm talking while these guys are talking. I don't care what you think. You don't know the truth. God's word says this. It's conversations at our dinner table sometimes. I can't take it anymore. Change the channel. But, but when we have a reverence for God, we will love the truth. He is truth. To respect him is to respect what he says. When you don't paying attention to what someone says, that's a sign you don't really respect them. So what you have in contrast to truth is opinion and emotion or feelings. And as long as we exalt our opinion, we will not be full of the knowledge of the truth and will not experience freedom in Christ. We cannot be moved by emotion. The people today entering into all this sinfulness of burning businesses down, beating people and all the rest of it, and it's all sin. We can't cloak it over and say, well, yeah, some good people, just a couple of rotten eggs in there. If you're in the midst of evil, you either stand up against it or you get away from it. You don't just hang out with it. I mean, these people talk to us like we're a bunch of idiots. I guess the people who follow them are. I don't know. But when God is your source, you reverence him. If man is your source, you'll reverence man. If money is your source, you'll reverence man. Man controls money. And what's happening in these times, in the spiritual war we're in, is everyone's going to come to a place where you're either going to stand in faith relative to what the Word of God says and worship the Lord, or you're going to bow to man. This is not a little thing. It's not, well, it'll blow over. It's just a little rain cloud. This is a big thing. Yes. And in life, you have to know what the big things are and what the little things are. And some things are a big thing. This is a big thing. The question that emerges then is, what is your source for every one of us? Is God truly my source or something of this world? So Satan's trying to use man, the Babylonian thing, Tower of Babel, man will be in control of everything to bring peace to people. So thus they'll say, oh, we'll get a vaccine. We'll take care of you. Just trust us and give us your money. And salute and bow. Now, I'm saying this in sort of some harsh terms, but I have to do that to get the point across. Sometimes to understand things, you have to see it in light of a more of an extreme. God's our source. We reverence him. The thing to fear, the thing I would fear because God is my source, is that his hand lift off my life. That's something to be afraid of. Because you're out there in this world and you don't have the hand of God on your life. You are in some big trouble. Oh, the devil might not take you down right away. The day will come. He will. Whether set you up into sexual sin or destroy your body or whatever it is. Whatever's attacked to you is going to be. If God's our source, then I fear him. Or I have respect. I have reverence. Completely tuned into him. And what's happening, the world's being brought to this place. And in Revelation 13, when it speaks about the beast, it says, all those who do not have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life will worship the beast. That is to bow down to it. You know, we tend to read things like that and think, glory, glory to the beast. Glory, glory to... No, it's not that. You bow down to and submit to. That is an act of worship. You know, when a dog will come and like get down on the ground, lay down before you, that's a show of submission. Like two dogs, it looks like you're going to fight and one of them lays down. That one's surrendering or submitting to the other one. And in this end times, everyone's going to be forced. It's either God or the beast, the world system. People think in being deluded and deceived like there's other options here. That's all going away. And it's happening faster than what... I mean, it's like stunning to look how fast what's happening is happening in our midst. A lot of people when they're... pride and foolishness think, well, that can't happen here. We're Americans. That is a foolish pride. That's placing our nation above truth. So the truth of God is a part of our armor. It will protect you from lying devils and doctrines of devils and deception and all the rest. We also proclaim the truth. And it is a weapon in our hand to dispel every lie of the devil. But we will not do that beyond the fear of the Lord we would have or the reverence for it. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. These people just fellowship with evil, hang out with it. They do not fear the Lord. I mean, people lie to themselves a lot. And I'm not implying any of you are doing that. That's not where I'm coming from. This thing of just thinking you can just waltz along in the midst with, you know, arm in arm with evil, that's not the fear of God. Anyone doing that will not be laying hold of the truth. Truth becomes a pursuit constantly. We want to know the truth and not be lied to. Well, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. It's an exhortation to us. It's a word for this hour. I've been preaching this for 5 months, one way or another, one form or another. Until the Lord changes that and says something else, I'll keep on doing it. Because I can only go with what he's inspiring. You'll have to know for yourself, is what I'm saying the truth or not? You know, when you're a pastor speaking the truth, it's not uncommon that people blow you off. Of course, they won't do that to your face. They'll just in their mind say, I don't think I agree with what all he's saying. Well, you can do that. But you better judge it. Is you don't agree to just an opinion you have? Is it something you don't want to believe? Sometimes people, they just don't want to believe what's going on. We have to face things in the truth. We are at war, but the good news is the greater one lives in us. We have an inherent power of God within us. We understand it by the manifest power and the resurrection of Christ, and he wants us to be full of it and be expressing it and push back against the wickedness that's going on. A pushback. Recently, I've become a little more educated in something with the weather, and that's high-pressure systems, low-pressure systems. And when you have a low pressure, the barometric pressure drops. You know, people maybe have arthritic or something, they feel pain. I became more aware of this relative to my dog because it makes her a little more squirrely. She's getting squirrely. I look at my phone, weather, yep, barometric pressure went down. Well, like it is in the atmosphere where people can feel that pressure literally in their bones even. There is a pressure in the spirit. We're in a low pressure system right now where Satan's trying to squash us down and cause you a lot of pain. And we have to push back with praise, push back with prayer, push back with declaring the truth. If there's no pushback, then we will lose. And this works its way out into the natural. There has to be pushback against what the Antichrist spirit is trying to impose upon us, or he will just take more and more ground, so to speak. The ground being taken is our liberties to a large degree. But even in spirit, people, there's a spirit of fear to trying to intimidate people, and more of this is going to come that you shouldn't even say the name of Jesus in public. You shouldn't witness. Don't doubt that that's not going to be falling down the road somewhere, because it will. And there could well be the day where these attacks aren't against businesses. They get focused at churches. Don't doubt that that can't happen. I mean, that doesn't scare me. We're ready for them, right? Right, Mark? We're ready for them. But we have to push back against evil, or it'll just consume. December 8th, 1941, millions of young men enlisted to fight an enemy that attacked our nation. And that's the moment in time for the body of Christ. Will people say, yes, Lord, here I am. I will pray. There is something we can do. We can pray. We continue to praise the Lord. We continue to bear witness of Christ. We read his word. We testify of his word. There is something we can do. The question is, will we be the ones?